This is the September 30 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists for the day include Logan Kimmel of Roche Ag Marketing, Jerry Golke of the Golke Group, and Bill Biederman of AgMarket.net. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online at WILLAG.org, willag.org. You can just click and play from the website or search out Commodity Week in your favorite podcast applications in places like Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, and so many more. Logan Kimmel, let's begin with you. Can you give me your immediate reaction after you saw the numbers from the United States Department of Agriculture, those grain stocks figures that changed things somewhat today?
Immediate reaction was on the friendly side for corn and wheat, and we did witness and then still have seen a bearish reaction to the bean numbers. I think with the fund length in the soybeans and a bearish number, that is caused the drawdown in the selling pressure on the soybeans. But first initial reaction and half hour into it is friendly on the corn side, pushing back up 15 right now, and the beans are under some selling pressure with those numbers.
Given these numbers, as you look into October towards the WASDE figure, what kind of things do you expect to change?
Well, I think on the next report, there will be a change to yield and possibly demand. But what we've seen on the corn with the numbers we know today, if nothing else changes on the report, that we do have a very tight number on ending stocks for corn, and I think that's being priced in as we speak. I think the soybean number surprised a little bit, higher than what the trade was guessing, but ultimately I think it should hold in here, and that number is still awfully tight in the grand scheme of things as well. So I would expect a change drawdown in the yield. And maybe a little bit of a cut on the demand side on the next report.
What have you been telling producers this week or hearing from them, either one, as it relates to the yield that they're harvesting for both corn and soybeans this year?
I think right now, or this past week, even with today's move, what we've seen is it is harvest time. And December corn so far has not been able this month to poke through the $7 level. And I do believe there's a lot still edge sell orders for new crop. And I think that makes sense. If producers are getting into fields and finding yields that might be better than what they had thought, it is still a relatively good price to be making sales if you need to at harvest. And that's what I think has kept the market on corn very range bound this month, and especially this week. Not very big moves to the upside being met with selling pressure, and not huge volumes traded. So that's kept us in a tight range, but I think it makes sense to make sales up at these levels if you've got the excess bushels or need to catch up, being it is still close to $7 futures on December corn.
The USDA's change will drop or could drop the October ending stocks in the WASDE by around 150 million bushels. That would put it at 1.227 billion. I would think producers might find that to be fairly friendly and bullish. Do you suppose that and while you're telling me that they have been selling, will they continue to sell, and should they continue to sell?
Yeah, I think a lot just depends on where inputs are locked in from this previous year, how far along are current sales, and what is the crop looking like, and that's going to vary from region to region. And then we start have to asking ourselves too. I mean, what is the 2023 new crop corn picture looking like for break evens, and where futures are at right now in 6.25 area? If we get some opportunities off of a bullish report again next month, I think it warrants making decisions on locking in some sales for next year's crop as well. So I think that it will provide opportunities going forward as we chew through harvest into the wintertime to make marketing decisions and lock in levels for this year and the following year's crop.
Is it, given what the numbers could do next month, worthwhile waiting to lock in some of those prices? I mean, not the input prices, but to lock in some sales prices for next year for corn?
I think so. Just given the time of the year and the price action that we've had, it's just been a very sideways grind, choppy trade, hitting hedge pressure. But seasonally, we should work through that and get better opportunities as the calendar moves forward, where seasonally, generally, prices are better to make sales down the road, longer term, bigger sales. I think that is worth, knowing what we know today, worth waiting for as harvest progresses on.
Of the some of the outside influences in the world market, the Ukraine-Russia war, planting that's beginning in South America for soybeans, the problems economically in Argentina, maybe the U.S. economy, China economy, I feel like they may all be fairly influential in the marketplace. Have you been watching one or the other of them more closely?
Yeah, I believe we saw quite a big influence on that this week, given the financial market collapse, and that's just been on a nosedive. And I think that here in the U.S., the general money flow coming out of everything, all commodities, financial, and going to cash, I think might have affected the soybeans a touch there. Another thing that commodities here have been battling is the strength in the U.S. dollar. The last 3 days has come down, but in general is at levels that I've never seen. Very, very elevated levels in the U.S. dollar. That's been a headwind, I think, to exports and interest in staying extremely long commodities. That's been something that's just been a battle and interesting to watch, as well as the outside markets on top of that.
Any final word from you for the day?
Yeah, I think the surprise came in from what the trade was guessing on the corn market, which is supportive of price. While we have the beans currently still down lower, I do think the beans will hold in here and kind of follow this corn and wheat market higher, it would appear. So for producers, I think just be ready to sell into this. It is harvest time, and start considering and making a plan for the coming months into the winter on next year's production too, while we could have another bullish report coming ahead of us here and give us opportunities to lock in levels in these markets.
That was Logan Kimmel. He's with Roach Ag Marketing. I talked with him earlier today and then made a phone call to Jerry Gulke. Jerry Gulke, let's talk a little bit about the numbers and the changes that will come in the WASD, the October figures, based on the grain stocks numbers. I know that USDA said that in these numbers they included a change to both the corn and soybean production from last fall. So corn was up or down 41.4 million bushels. The beans were up 30.2 million bushels. I suppose those are kind of reflected in the grain stocks figures anyway. What are your expectations going forward?
Well, in soybeans first, this was not a good report in that we the percentage that we added to the carry out, I guess, because they reflected, right, they're going to reflect them probably right in the bottom line, puts that carry out in our estimations probably closer to 300. Plus or minus 10 million bushels, and probably growing depending upon how the exports go. We've lowered our exports even further to maybe under 2 billion. We'll see. A lot of guys I talk to globally say that demand destruction is alive and well, and we'll probably see that continue. China is, I think USDA's got China at 98 million from all sources. It's probably more like 94, and we're losing market share to Argentina, of course. And we knew that up front before this report came out. And that part of that will be reflected, I think, in the October report. And so we really got to rely on yield coming down. You know, one bushel is 88 million, and that can make a difference in the production side. But I got a feeling that production number won't change much. We're going to plant harvest our crop, and of course we're in northern Illinois, where north of probably Peoria or in that area, north into this area up here, we probably see some record yields. It looks like it, so we don't know until we get the combine in the field, but from what we understand, it's pretty good. And we started harvesting in North Dakota on the home farm, and that's running in mid-40s, which is very good for that land. You know, it's a $90 an acre land, so they can make that work pretty well. So I think the soybean number is in jeopardy, and we've lost market share. The corn, I was kind of concerned. I thought if it was going to be a number today that coming in here, it would be friendly. I didn't think it was going to be that bullish in corn and unfriendly to beans. I didn't expect it to be that unfriendly in beans, but we were positioned to where what I made in beans being short, I'm probably losing in selling some corn, but I've got to see corn get above and stay above $7 to get real excited in this thing. So up 23, I look back in last year and other reports, and when we get a June 30th report, last year we went up strongly after that, and we topped out the second day of the trading in October. And staying above that level and being able to hold that level above $7 is going to be, maybe difficult, because they'll get my corn at $7. I won't store $7 corn. And, I don't think a lot of farmers, if they didn't sell much, that they'll probably sell into a rally in the harvest. And especially when October is in their harvest determining month for insurance. So we could very well have factored in the report by next Monday or Tuesday, and we'll be in full harvest, I think, by then in a lot of areas. So it looks given this opportunity, although we were wrong, I know why. We were getting comments from people in our clients in Nebraska, said there's going to be a lot of wheat planted. North Dakota, my son-in-law called up this morning and yesterday and wanted to sell wheat. And I, for next year, 2023, spring wheat, he can get $9 out of the field, and he plans on increasing it to 8,000 acres from probably 2,000 this year that got hailed. And he said it competes very well doing that. And I said, well, wait a couple of days. Well, he got 20 or 40 cents more, and I called him this morning. I said, go ahead and sell the first 15%. And he said, I already did. I sold 20% of the crop. So when they sell, and they sell for cash, he doesn't like using futures and options. And given today's numbers with wheat up, 40 cents, like 50 cents, I can see why. You know, you can be right and profitable, but it's really hard to hold a position in these markets with when you're farming 5, 7, 10,000 acres of land,
So asking for a friend here who has 40% of a soybean crop sold and beans yet to be harvested, but still, there's another 60% left. Is it a good idea to try to market beans before they get to the elevator?
Yeah, I don't farm that much America, so it's easy to get 100% sold, but I'm over 100% sold, and I'm probably half sold for next year of 2023 as well. I looked at the numbers, and I said, with corn offering me out of the elevator less than $6 a bushel with basis, and beans right around 13 or whatever they were back in that area, maybe closer to 14 or 23, I said, I'll plant beans but I needed to sell them, and so I got them hedged. Old crop beans, if you look at what's happening today, and of course as we record this, it's not closed yet, anything can happen, but we're posting very negative technical signals. As our friend Zwicker would tell you, you're posting a key reversal down, you're breaking the 50-day moving average, and you're doing it on a day of a report and the end of the quarter and the beginning of harvest, and you're turning the weekly short as well. So this is, as it stands, is a very negative looking situation for soybeans. And sometimes I'll tell my clients, if this was a land price, I'd sell the farm. So that's how negative it looks if we can continue to hold this number and it doesn't just turn around and all markets close higher because Putin decided to drop a bomb or something, and today's speech certainly helped wheat. He knows how to manipulate the wheat market, and if the wheat and corn can't hold soybeans, then soybeans are in bigger trouble than we think.
On that note, farmers will be bulled up on this report based on what happened for the corn market. Should they be?
Yeah, it looks, our technical stuff again was as positive looking in corn as it was negative looking in beans. And I think you've got a problem. If two situations, you have a U.S. problem where you You don't have it where you need it in the Western Corn Belt. I think we calculated upwards of 500 million bushel shortfall when you look at the feeding corridor from Texas to North Dakota. South Dakota crop is not as good as it was last year in some places. And so you've got a major problem that's going to have to probably be done with the basis to try to achieve transportation. And trucking that stuff is not easy, and rail as well, going from Ohio or Illinois to Nebraska where they need it. So there's going to be a two-tiered situation. So I think we have to focus on a couple things. And going back to beans, I noticed if I listen to the radio and watch the television and read a lot, of course, and there was a lot of focus on, well, we have a million bushels more or less in corn or beans or a bushel here or there. To me, it was kind of like majoring in minors. It's a global situation in soybeans that is the problem. South America, China, you know, and our competition coming up in January, February. In corn, we've got a U.S. domestic problem that is at home here that you're going to solve for a while until you get the pipeline freed up, and then we got to deal with the high barge costs. Are they going to continue to pay that at the Gulf, or are they going to force it on to me to pay it? It looks to me like if the futures go up, I think our basis starts to widen, and maybe starts widening next week. But then you've got a global situation again with corn. China hasn't bought any corn from us for quite a while, and I'm not so sure as we can catch up on that market. So our export market is going to drop, but if you look at our total usage, we use, you know, in exports, and in China, why if they're absent, that kind of hurts us. Will the domestic market help and it probably will help in the short term? I noticed today, and I'm short a little bit of new crop corn, even though I just purely technical, I didn't like the price, but you know, old crop corn is not keeping up with new crop corn, just like old crop beans is not keeping up with. I mean, new crop beans aren't near as bad as old crop beans are, and in corn, you're trying to keep up, but you're 10 cents away. So, understanding the market, it says we got to get the price high enough to where whatever we come up with at the end of the year is going to be enough, so we don't run out. And right now, this thing without a drop in exports, we're going to be up in that carryout of maybe 1.1. Gets pretty dicey in there that early in the year to say you're going to have only a billion bushels of corn left over, or 1.1 billion by next fall when we harvest again. That keeps things pretty tight in the corn, and I think the farmers they'll hold that. They see it, and our on-farm stock showed that they've got ability to hold high-priced corn. It's just crazy to me that we have on-farm stocks, you know, higher than they were last year at this time.
What do you think the corn-soy ratio will be? And farmers will use that to judge how many acres they ought to be putting in the ground next year of each crop. They should use the corn-soy ratio for next year, but they'll use the lead month ones. What will it look like?
Well, it looked and you know, it kind of favored soybeans, and that's why I hedged off some soybeans. I said if you keep soybeans up there where they're at, I'll plant soybeans instead of corn. So I didn't sell any new crop corn. I sold new crop beans or hedged them on paper, and now I have a choice to make. Do I want to take that dollar a bushel drop or whatever and make a decision next spring? And I think with the high cost, we'll see what fertilizer does. I bought the fertilizer and paid about $40 an acre less than I did last year for liquid nitrogen under using the same ratio. And I think it's going to kind of depend upon that fertilizer situation if it frees up a little bit. But soybeans are looking, telling us that, you know, we don't need the beans, we need the corn. And I think that market will entice us to do that. I think we'll see an increase in corn acres. I increased corn acres this year by about 150 acres at the last minute, pretty much. I sprayed liquid nitrogen on it, field cultivated it, and planted it the next day and made the decision. And it was about $200 an acre better off net profit wise than what soybeans were going to give me. And I did that at the last minute. I know some people in Minnesota did that, and in North Dakota did it as well. And I think we've got flexibility in here to where we can move 2 or 3% of the crop at the last minute if we decide to. And it's going to be it looks like another good year for farmers to say, you know, tell me how much you want and how much you're willing to pay me to plant, you know, unless this demand destruction gets really bad, and or we get prices so high that you know, the cattle guy can't make it, and or can't even source the grain, you know, out west, he's probably going to bring stuff to market and get it sold. That creates a big problem all the way around for food and meats and so forth for our inflation. Trying to curb that inflation scenario, if the cattle aren't there, maybe we will see high priced cattle finally, and it may take until next June or July to have that happen. But it looks like that's on tap as well. So a lot of moving parts out there.
That was Jerry Gohlke of the Gohlke Group. There's one more interview to go. So Bill Biederman, thank you for being with us from agmarket.net. Let's start where we did with everybody else. Reaction to today's report, what it means.
Well, the report obviously was friendly to very bullish corn, depending on how you look at it. So, like, when you start to look at the quarterly stocks numbers by themselves, you know, the number that they came out with is actually 1377 is larger than it was the year before at 1235. So, you know, this is an actual survey of what's in the bin. So this, we've been guessing the carryover all year long, and everybody was guessing, you know, the last USDA report was 1525, and so the guesses were right around that 1512, and at 1377 for an actual number, it's a shocker. It really is. But then when you compare it with the previous year, we had a carryover of 1235, and we're all talking about old news now, right? The 1377, even though it's a shocker number, it's the old crop. We're already harvesting the new. So we already got through that shortage, and we already got through the shortage of the year before at 1,235 million bushel or 1.2 billion bushel. And so we're saying, well, we survived that. We survived the previous year. Okay, well, now we're harvesting. So there's no shortage. But here's the thing, Todd. When you take this revision and you move it into the new crop carryover and don't change anything, leave the yield right where it was at 172.5, the project instead of the 1.2 billion that we've all been guessing, it's down to 1.062, which is below the number needed to keep pipeline, which is bin sweeps, river terminals, barges, trains running. It's below that number. So now we're all looking at this going, okay, are yields coming in higher than what we thought or lower than what we thought? That's going to be the key going forward here. And if they're lower than what we thought, this market's not done going up.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what's happening this harvest season. The crop has begun to come in. We'll get an idea of whether yields are better or worse, and certainly USDA in its October WASI will give us a good number or a better number because they will have taken some actual field samples at that point, again, from the field, their second time around. And it looks from the discussions I've had with the weather folks like we're going to have at least another 10 good clean days of dry weather, maybe all the way through the mid part of October. It could be a fast harvest. What does that mean, if anything?
Okay, well, if it's a fast harvest, this is creating a little bit of anxiety for procurement officers that run especially ethanol plants where they're grinding, because typically when it's slow and you got a few rain days, you can keep grinding and you keep get rid of that inventory you've brought in, make room for some more inventory, and you can get 60 days worth of inventory around you, which is a really important thing. But if this harvest goes really fast and the lines at my facility are intolerable, farmers are going to go somewhere else with that grain. And once that grain goes into a bin, especially a farm-owned bin, with the kind of statistics we have on the table today, with the potential of only a billion bushel, it's going to be nearly impossible to get out. So, basis is getting cremated right now because we are in harvest. I mean, COFCO dropped their bids on beans the other day like 50 cents, right? So that just kind of threw a shockwave through the whole system. And, you know, we went from a premium to 20 under, 23 under on corn and beans at the river in just, you know, 2 days. So we're seeing that typical basis weakness. But looking forward 30 days, if this harvest goes quick, these buyers are going to be scrambling to get some inventory bought out ahead. And then making it even more complicated, I'll throw this into you, is, you know, the river is so low. When Penn and I took our trip out to Kansas a few weeks ago, they were already dredging the Mississippi, and now we're hearing barges running the ground, which we both know what that does to the river, market. It kills the river market north, but you look down at, like, SIF today was at $1.90 over for corn, which is 30 over, or 30 cents up. So, you know, they're really struggling to get grain down there.
I tried to get hold of the Army Corps of Engineers because I just don't understand how much of an issue this will be. I suspect St. Louis, in part, is a large problem there, is that the Missouri River dumps in, and so that's causing not much water, as nearly as much water, to come into the Mississippi at that point. And for the next 80 miles or so till you get to the Ohio, but I don't know whether it causes a problem the rest of the way down. I kind of think it does because of the convergence of those three rivers, four, Illinois, Ohio, the Missouri, and the Mississippi. And if you take one of them out, it must cause a lot of a problem all the way down. But certainly between St. Louis and where the Ohio converges at the base of Illinois, that's going to be a really big issue, I would think.
I would think it is, and I think it's going to cause a, I don't know. I mean, because I don't know, I don't think the rain forecast is going to be very helpful in the near term. And I don't trade barge, but we do have people in our company that do. And the way they're talking, I mean, barge is trading today at $1,500, and the bid offer spread is 200% spread difference between bid offers. So, you know, it's, nobody wants to get caught. And nobody wants to get run aground. So you've got people that don't want to get caught buying it high, and you got people that don't want to, you know, commit to going up there and getting stuck. So it's a big problem. I don't know how it's going to solve, but I know that, you know, further south, when you get down to Memphis, it's going to be okay, I think.
So that would be a bearish factor for both corn and soybeans. But for corn in particular, you laid out with the end users a way that the marketplace, along with what we saw from the grain stocks numbers, is going to stay really, really friendly, especially once the bin doors get shut if we have a super fast harvest. However, the soybean market, which needs to move this crop down the river, because usually that's what happens at this time of year with the soybeans, and it's coming under pressure from the grain stocks figures and really fast harvest, probably really some very big yields, I would think, in the eastern Corn Belt. How bad might it be?
Well, okay, so going back to the picture you just painted for everybody is, you know, from the Mississippi west, we've got shortages, right, of everything. We're going to have shortages of corn, and we're going to have shortages of beans going to processors like we haven't seen in many, many years. At least that's what we think. Now, maybe the bean yield will come in better than we thought. We don't know. And to the east, we're having good yields and plenty of supply, but it's going to be difficult to move because, like, as you said, the river. But moving this around logistically, like right now we're hearing loadouts in the PNW are at capacity commitments, and you can't get trains to get it there. It's difficult, but at the same time, you've got the poultry, hog, and cattle, especially industry in the west, trying to pull grain all the way up from Chicago in a volume area that's bigger than normal, because they're literally thinking they won't make it through the whole feeding season, so they're trying to get inventory. So I think the dynamics are going to be very complicated. The eastern belt, if you're near a river shipper, a unit train, you'll be able to have some pretty good bids, and he's going to have, and those bids are going to get stronger and stronger as the year goes along. But right now, if you can still get premium bid, take it. If not, put it in the bin and wait and see what happens. Whereas out in the Western Belt, I think that this sell-off in basis is going to be a matter of days, maybe 2 weeks, before it turns around and starts going right back up. So I think that the basis moves and the spreads in the market are providing tremendous opportunity for people who have storage. But, you know, right now we've been saying for the last few weeks, if you can get some of these strong bids for fall delivery, absolutely take it. There's no question about it. You can always replace it with ownership of a call and complement that with ownership of a spread. Spreads will act just like the basis, and the call will give you upside protection once if the market goes up. Now, if we have a huge crop in South America, the market may not go up. So what? You're only going to lose the price of the call. You're not going to lose your shirt. So that's a really good decision.
Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find the whole of the program to listen to anytime you'd like on our website at WILLAG.org or search it out in your favorite podcast application. Our thanks go this week to our panelists, including Bill Biederman of AgMarket.net, Jerry Golke of the Golke Group, and Logan Kimmel of Roach Ag Marketing. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.